just really happy and thankful for what God's doing and how he's just really working in people's heart, and the people that are just applying what God tells them to do. When you do it with all your heart, you've got an expectation, and there's always great benefits from just doing those simple things with faith and confidence and trust in God, that God's going to do his part as we do our part, as we trust him, as we seek him. And just what you were sharing, Kelly, about desire your own field. Have an expectation that God's got those laborers. And it only takes one person, as Sangeet always encourages us, just one person. And it's true, just one person that really desires to know, that's hungry. And then we feed them what God gives us to feed them. We encourage them, we build their faith. And this is what the fellowship's about, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. And we build one another up, and we encourage one another, and we encourage one another with the things that God is doing in our lives, the things that we're seeing, experiencing, and we're proving God's word is to be true. God's word is true, and it comes to pass. And when we take God at his words, and his word, the scriptures, the promises, like I shared last week, and the week before, and probably the weeks before that, that we are partakers of the divine nature through the great and precious promises. God has designed us with that Holy Spirit within us to say what we want, not what we see. And the circumstances, we've been trained as we've been brought up to look at the things around us, to identify with the things around us, what's going on, the situations in the world, the problems in the world, what Joe Bloggs is saying down there, or Johnny Jump Up is saying over there. We don't want to repeat those things, but we keep our hearts single and before God, and we want to say what we want, not what we see. You know, God has given each person specific words. He's spoken things in your life that he's going to bring to pass. You may have forgot them. Ask God to remind you, what have you got for me? This is my life before you. Like God says to Abraham, I am going to make you the father of many nations. Like, you are the father of many nations. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So from the father of heights to the father of nations. And God calls those things which are not as though they were. So he already said, you are the father of many nations. So Abraham, in his circumstances, it looked against him. You know, he was old, Sarah was old. But Abraham hoped against hope. Abraham had expectation on the things and the promises that God gave to him. So God wants you to expect the very best. In fact, when you look at the scriptures and you look at the word expectation, on the positive side, it's always with that we expect the very best. God wants you to expect the best. So your field, desire your field, your own fellowship. Each one of you can lead. Each one of you can teach. Each one of you can encourage. But it comes from a desire for those things. And so when you know what you want, then you can start confessing and saying what you want. With Joseph, God gave Joseph those dreams when he was young. And then he went through that hardship, those circumstances again. Emotions, hurt, abandonment, rejection. But he kept that hope in his heart from what God showed him from that dream. And he was faithful. And then God took him from the pit to the palace, as we know, and promoted him and prospered him. Abraham was very prosperous. He honored God. He tithed. He gave the very best to God. So he got the benefits from that. And as we've shared before, the giving is the key to everything else. Because it's the least area where we use our faith. God doesn't need your money. He needs your faith. And like a farmer, when he sows his seed, he sows with what? Expectation. He's not going to work that ground. He's not going to plow it and dig all the stones out and do all that hard work day and night to prepare the field ready for the sowing of the seed if he didn't think he was going to get anything in return. So he worked heartily. You know, he works heartily, the farmers work heartily, and they sow that seed and they expect a great harvest, they expect a great return. See, expectation and believing is so close together. That expectation helps your faith along. So you're believing for something and then you expect it to come to pass, you expect it to happen. And God is the God of expectation. Now we're to rejoice in expectation. So when we're expecting something, we're not believing for something or praying for something and then thinking, well, I don't think it's going to happen. The world uses hope as it might be. You know, it might happen. I'm hoping this will happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the hope that God's talking about is that we've got what we expect. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance or the materialization of the things hoped for, the expectations of things not seen. So we imagine, we see it in our mind, and then we will manifest it, we will hold it in our hands. We got to believe the things that we pray for and we're believing for, we've already got. It may not be physically with you. It may not be materializing right now. But as you keep your expectation there, then it will manifest. It becomes. So that's how we bring the spiritual into the physical, by a great expectation, a great confession, okay, and then any corresponding movements that God would have us to do. So God puts in your heart to go and speak to someone or give someone a call or to do something. When you just do those simple things with God and from a just like a trusting heart, and that you're expecting a result, you will get one. You will get a great result, not a bad result. We don't expect things bad. An expectation is just so important. And God wants you, this is what's in my heart to share with you, is that God wants you to expect the very best. So if you've got a situation, and it's a bad situation, maybe with friends, maybe in your finances, maybe in your health or in your fellowship, you see it good, then you call it good, and then take any corresponding action God puts in your heart to do. So we do what God is leading us to do. As we know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We're to be led by God. We're looking to God, we're praying, we give our desires to God, and they're going to come to pass. Like in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. We've got an expected end, not a tragedy end, not a bad end. We got an expected end. In other words, we're going to live this life that God's called us to live, which is a life more than abundant in the spirit. Abundance starts in the heart, and then it manifests outside of us as we move with that, as we are in alignment with that. And so the circumstances are there to trick your mind into thinking about those circumstances. And then it triggers emotions. Emotions triggers more thoughts. And that's why your thoughts, heart and emotions is very important. Like I've taught many times and shared many times in Proverbs, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. So what you pay attention to, what you listen to repetitively, will get into your heart. And then you start speaking that way. And then you start to really believe it. So if it's on the negative side, you will get negative results. If you're just saying the same thing all the time, your circumstances won't change. You won't see a great result. God has designed you, through that Holy Spirit he's placing you, to be very productive, very fruitful, very prosperous. And he's got the solutions, the answers, and the direction. And so this just rejoices my heart, because we are having a good journey through life. You may feel to yourself right now, well, I'm not having such a great journey through life, Lawrence. You just don't know my situation. But I'm not agreeing with your situation. I'm agreeing with what God says. And you'd be very wise to come into agreement with what God says about your situation. I am having a great journey through life. And the more you say that, the more you're changing that self-image of yourself. So your self-image could be how you used to be in your old nature, through the old programming, the things that you learned growing up. And the older you are, probably the more old programming you got in there. Because your old man's dead. The Bible says that your old man is dead. We're complete in Christ. And some people use the old man as an excuse to stay procrastinated and staying where they are. Oh, it's my old man nature, I can't overcome this. Listen, your old man is dead, you are complete in Christ. You are complete. Jesus Christ done a complete work. It is finished. So what do we struggle about when it talks in Romans 6 and 7? What are we really struggling with? It's not, it can't be the old man, because we're to reckon it dead. Because it is dead. That's why we're to reckon it dead. So what is it we're dealing with? We're dealing with old thoughts, old programming. And that old thoughts and old programming is there through the repetition of listening to those things through those years. By going, being led by our feelings. Being led by what we experienced before. But now, behold, all things are new. You are a new creation in Christ. You've got the Spirit of the living God in you. You've got the scriptures, the promises. You've got the direct words from the Heavenly Father. God sent his words and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. So this is where we get our mind focused. So when I look into myself, I'm seeing Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm not to look at myself after the flesh, and I'm not to look at you after the flesh. You are powerful. You are beautiful. God's got great things for you. God's saying, now wake up, church. Wake up. You are powerful. You are not down. Or if you feel you're down, or if you are down, you are not out. Now gird up the loins of your mind and make a decision. Make a committed decision to listen to me, to do what I put in your heart to do, to follow my encouragement, to follow my instruction. A committed decision is that once you made a decision, you cut everything else out in your life that isn't a part of that decision, that isn't going to help you move forward. And this is why I'm so excited for this leaders meeting. Because on this leaders meeting, I want you to come. Those that have decided to come, that is led by God to come. Because we're all leaders. We all got that potential to lead. We all got that potential to run fellowship. It's all there in you. It's God in Christ in you. So when you come, come prepared. Come prepared to give. In the sense of, you share your desire. You may not even know what your desire is yet, but I guarantee you, when you come on that leaders meeting, that desire will be there. God will put it there. And then you make a commitment to it. You say, yes, this is what I desire to do. It may be wild. I can remember being in Nepal, traveling in a minibus with a lady called Jyoti. Beautiful lady, wonderful leader, and she's got thousands of leaders and believers, fellowships, many thousands of people coming. But when I went, she didn't have that. And we were sat on the bus and we drove past this area in the mountains in Nepal. And she said, Lawrence, look down there. She said, see, that's my where I come from. And she said, that's my field. And God's going to give me all those people there. And many people will come, and it's going to go throughout Nepal. And she was so fervent, and I believed every word she said. She had me convinced. She was fully persuaded. She had an expectation on God. See, we don't put our expectations on someone that's really clever and walking by the Spirit or knowledgeable in the Scriptures. We put our expectation on God. Her expectation was on the Heavenly Father. And do you know what? She's got that. What she said, she now is manifesting. And why is that? Because she knew what she wanted, and then she said what she wanted. She took it to God. She had an expectation on God. So we put our expectation on the Heavenly Father. You can do and be whatever you want to be. And that's the scriptures say that. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What do you want to achieve? My job here on this fellowship is to encourage people. That's all I've ever wanted to do. I wanted to be a good coach, a good mentor, a good teacher. And I am. I'm becoming that. I'm saying that. I'm declaring that to you now. My desire is to receive laborers that are humble and meek and ready to receive the words that God gives me to speak and what he puts in my heart to do. And I will get that. It will happen. And like Kelly said, people come in on this fellowship and so that they can grow and that they can start their own fellowships, because we've all got the business of God to do. God's business, you put him first. If you take care of God's business, he will take care of your business. Do the things that you understand to do. You need to be connected where you're getting sound doctrine, not traditional religious doctrine, not doctrine that you're comfortable with. but doctrine that's going to cause your faith to rise up, to go to God, to walk by the Spirit of God, and to be, you know, fully encouraged. We don't look at the faces or the names of the ministry or the reputations, but we go where God shows us to go. And then you should be, wherever you're connected, if you are following, if you are following the encouragement and applying the things that you're being encouraged to do and what God shows you to do, you should be fruitful. God will bring those people to you because he knows that you're faithful. A faithful man abounds in blessings. A faithful man or woman. Faithful to what? Faithful to come to fellowship? Or faithful to pray every day? Or faithful to read the scriptures every day?
No.
No, it's not. It's faithful in doing what God is showing you to do. And being connected where God wants you to be connected, where you can flourish and you can grow and you can be encouraged and you can have faith built into you as you receive with a humble heart. So God really wants you to understand he's got great works for every individual that is on this Zoom fellowship right now and for the people that will listen on the audios. And many people listen to this. Many people, I got the statistics on my website. Many countries come and listen. This is a great opportunity to share what God's doing in your life, to speak those wonderful works. And God really does want us to prosper, guys. And abundance starts in the heart. You know, an abundance of God's revelation to you. And God's got a vision and a direction and a purpose. And there's things that you can do that will elevate you there, the things that God gives you to do. For me, I got very focused. You know, you have to decide to be focused. I write my goals down personally. You don't have to do that, but this is something that is very beneficial. I write the vision, I make it plain, I read it, and I run to do it. It's a reminder. It's a commitment made. And I'm not backing off the commitments I made. God showed me where to connect. I've done the connection. And I'm benefiting greatly. I'm not backing away from that. No matter what the circumstances say, no matter what may happen or people say, I know where God wants me to connect. So that's where I connect. And I am not worried about what anyone has to say about it. Can you see? And I'm not worried about what people think about what I say, because I know that my Heavenly Father is energizing me with his heavenly words to bless you, to encourage you, and you will get blessed if you take down your barriers of tradition. Well, I wasn't taught that way before. You take those barriers down away from your heart, and you allow God to immerse you with these wonderful words of life. And then make a commitment to God. Father, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow this encouragement. I want results, God. I want to see your blessings manifested in my life. And the way I do that is having a great expectation on you. So what we do, I just want to read these things to you. Romans 12:12. These are wonderful records. Romans 12:12. It says, rejoicing in hope, expectation. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So that's how you continue to. We rejoice in hope. So while we're waiting for the manifestations of what we're believing for, our expectations in God, and we're rejoicing, Father, I thank you, this is done. I thank you, I have great abundance. We speak like we've already got it. I thank you, I have the top quality laborers in the world. I thank you that people are connected to me from all over the world, so I can give them your words. I know who I am in you, Heavenly Father. See, it starts with knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing who you are now, that you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you. Knowing that you are righteous. You are right before God. Listen, if I am right before God, right now, I am right before you. Yeah? So are you. I am justified. I don't have to justify myself. I'm justified. I'm set apart. I'm redeemed. Don't ever think in your mind, oh, would I be saved? You got the Holy Spirit in you. It's sealed up to the day of redemption. The day of redemption hasn't happened yet. But God's put his deposit in you. You are a son and daughter of God. And you can act like a son and daughter of God. You can act like the Son of God. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is as he is, so are we in this world. Be really encouraged. Rejoice. No, rejoice. Don't be sad. if you're in lockdown right now, I know, I'm on my own here. I'm in lockdown. I haven't really been out apart from shopping on a Saturday, right? But do you know what? I may be in this house, but my mind is elsewhere. I see myself travelling. I see myself speaking to thousands of people. I see myself speaking to one-on-one people, receiving the word with joy, receiving the word with gladness, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Those 3,000 souls received the word gladly, and they continue. And I see those type of people around me because I want to give them God's best. And I can only give them God's best if I'm allowing God to work in me. And God is working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God is supplying everything. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God is working and energizing in me. So it's nothing from me, it's all from him. You know, my old man is gone, dead. The old program is being changed. My self-image is as a son of God, living from the right hand of God, speaking from the right hand of God. And whatever your need is now, you see it as already done. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you've received it, then you shall have it. Mark 11:24. Go and read it. Go and look at the words. Go and look at the Greek words on it. It'll show you that. Whatsoever things you desire. And that word desires whatsoever you call for. So whatever you're saying, it will come to you. So when you're saying, well, my circumstances never change, God never does nothing for me, you're saying that with your heart, right? It's coming out of your mouth. So you're just creating more of the same. Your circumstances won't change. But when you start getting that word of faith in your heart, my God shall supply all my needs. My God is my sufficiency in all things. I am prosperous. I am wealthy. I am healthy. And when you are operating in the principles of God, honoring God with your substance, where God shows you to honor, you do that with all your heart. And then you expect a return. God wants you to expect a return. And you'll start to see it. It starts there in your giving. Everything from that giving. Look at Luke chapter 16. Go and read it for yourself. Let God open your eyes and enlighten you to see what it's saying in Luke 16 about stewardship. See, like some people I know, they honor God, but they're not prospering. They're not seeing a change. And what I say to them is this. If you're honoring God, the next thing to that is to be a good steward of your finances. You put your money to work for you. See, don't be a servant of money, but you be the master of money. In other words, you put your money, you tell your money what you want it to do. You honor God, and then you pay the bills, and then you'll see as you pay those bills, those debts will start to go, and you'll have more and more at the end. You're thinking, wow, look at this, I'm paying my bills and it's got more. How is this? Because you're being faithful. You're operating in a principle. See, listen, guys, just not be ignorant. It's very simple. God set up laws in this life, like the laws of gravity. Okay, if you jump off a building, you're going up, aren't you? No, you're going down, baby. Right. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains. Is the earth remaining? You've got to ask yourself the questions when you're reading something. Yes, the earth remains. He said, day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. So that's a law. That's not going to change. You sow, you shall reap. If you sow, you'll have a harvest. And you'll get the harvest of whatever you're sowing. There's the law of giving and receiving. But when you're doing it with God, it's so much higher. It's so much higher than just an unbeliever applying those principles. Because the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So they get benefit when they give. There's people that give 10% of their income and they're not even believers, but they know it's a principle and it works. So find out what God says to do and the heart behind it. So there's the law of seed time and harvest. There's the law of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, faith and confession, fear and confession. So God has made this thing very simple. The more I'm walking with God, and the more I'm looking to him, and the more I go through the scriptures that I knew from before, like, you know, I've known the scriptures, I know quite a lot of them, I'm seeing that man's teachings from it can make it very complicated, or good, it's good, some of it, right? But God has made everything so very simple. And if you want to know, then you just got to say, God, teach me. You need to teach me. You need to open up my eyes where the veil has been over them, in the areas that they've been covered. The errors of healing, the errors of finances. Prosperity and wealth should be yours, and it is yours. Now you need to manifest it. So what are you doing? What are you doing on your part? Are you using your heart and your mind and your faith and your words towards God and asking Him to show you? Let's not procrastinate. Don't let the days go by. Because like you can start manifesting all the great and precious promises which are yours in Christ Jesus, which is yes and amen. You can start manifesting it very quickly. So a lot of people know that they can go to God. And, you know, when we're expecting something, we don't give up halfway through. That's not expecting. So expectation is a partner to faith. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? Faith, hope and love. The greatest of these is love. As you start to do this, as you start to practice this, your speech becomes different. It becomes heavenly speech. Even when you're speaking like I'm speaking with Kim or Jason, my words are word orientated. And so the more you say that, then, you know, look at the seed you're sowing. Your words are seed. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Fruit comes from seed being sown. So now, if you want to change a situation, you go to God. You ask for His wisdom. And He'll give you His wisdom, and then you do it, and then you'll get the results, and then you've got some understanding there. Oh, this works. So people that are prospering through their giving, you've got to understand, you've got to expect. If you're praying for laborers, you've got to expect. God wants you to expect the very best from Him. So whatever area you need to focus on, go to God and say, Father, just open up my understanding in these areas. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, for God gives to a man which is good in His sight. You are good in His sight, guys. You're righteous. You're in the presence of the Father. God gives to a man that is good in His sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Solomon asked God for wisdom. This blessed the heart of God. He said, ask me anything you want. Oh Lord, give me wisdom, because I need to know how to come out in amongst these people, because they're such a great people. And God was so blessed with this, He said, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask. I'm going to do an Ephesians 3:20 for you. I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think here. I'm going to make you rich, and I'm going to give you the life of your enemies. I'm going to give you long life, because you didn't ask for those things, you asked for wisdom. And God has given us the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That blesses the heart of God when you go after His wisdom. He'll give it to you. If you lack wisdom in an area or in your situation, ask God for His wisdom. Expect it. When you ask God, expect. He'll answer you. So He'll answer you so clearly you can't miss it. So this is what I've been practicing. Here, in lockdown, in my home, best place to be at the moment. I'm using it to my advantage. I'm not letting it take advantage of me. But I'm taking advantage of the lockdown. But I'm sat there, I'm seeing myself ministering healing. I'm seeing myself teaching to the thousands and the individuals. I'm seeing labourers come to me, people calling me. I want to know, can you teach me? I want to move with God. I'm seeing that. So get an image in mind and see yourself as a super conqueror, as a son of God with power. Guys, have a great expectation. Let's get excited. So I encourage you to do the same. Expect the very best from God. So God bless your wonderful heart.